Acknowledge me!
Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Cannon, and thank you for joining us for The Squared Circle. Joining me on today's show, we have Neil, and unfortunately just the voice, but no less important, of Rax. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Well, thank you very much for... Good. Thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you. So yeah, Rax is having a bit of broadband issues. So we're just going to get his soulful voice in this today, but no means less, insight, because it's all about the voice. Let's be honest. We're not selling ourselves here because of how good we look. Well, Neil's holding it up for us, but there we go. We are here. We are the Squared Circle. So we are the spin-off show of the Creative Control team, because we're here to talk about wrestling, specifically WWE, but we will dip into other sort of like franchises as we go through it. But specifically, we're here today to talk about Elimination Chamber 2024 and our predictions for the card. So if you saw our first episode of the Squared Circle, we did our Creative Control What If. So basically, it's a case of we are Creative Control WWE, how we would have booked the show for the Elimination Chamber. It's very different, I think, from what a lot of us anticipated. But we'll go into that in a little bit more detail now. We'll also cover some of the events that have happened since the last podcast as well, because we had the Las Vegas
press conference.
We've had some Raw and SmackDown in between and stuff like that. So we'll delve into that a little bit. But the focus today is Elimination Chamber, because our next couple of episodes we're going to be going all in on WrestleMania. Okay, but first of all, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate you, and we'd appreciate your support. So if you haven't already, make sure you hit that like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, where, of course, you can watch the video podcast. You can also watch the video version of this on Spotify, if you weren't aware, and you can hit the follow on there as well. But in terms of the audio, you can catch us on any major podcast platform. All right, but we appreciate your support, so thank you. Gentlemen, so obviously we did our predictions for the Elimination Chamber, but... things have kind of changed. Things have kind of moved around a little bit because of what happened at the Las Vegas press conference and subsequently on Raw and SmackDown since then. Originally, we thought we were going to have The Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, which kind of left Cody and Seth going for that other belt. That's all changed now, and that has also led to changes in the Elimination Chamber card and program to what we thought it was going to be. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts. Rax, I'm going to come to you. Tell me a little bit about what you thought about The Rock, or heel Rock, Hollywood Rock, Roman Reigns, Cody and Seth at the Las Vegas news press conference.
I actually personally love to see a heel Rock. I think he's always done a really great job in doing that anyway. So, I mean, it kind of reminds me of the Hollywood persona that he had back in 2003. And he just kills it every time. So, I mean, obviously we already know that obviously the main intention was for Roman Reigns and The Rock to go at Mania. But I guess I get it, like, on paper, it sounds amazing. It's like, I think it is in a way kind of a dream match and stuff like that. And I think WrestleMania is like the platform to do it. But I just think obviously it probably wasn't the right time for it, especially with that, everyone's over Cody. But to be honest with him, if he had watched the press conference, like after it, when he kind of bumps into Triple H in the hallway and Nina kind of swears and all that, it brings that sense of realism to it, which I love. It felt really real that my brother actually messaged me and he said, because he doesn't watch wrestling, but he's just kind of like saying, did that really happen? Is that like a real thing? Is that, because it was so convincing. And I had to kind of like go into the whole, explanation as to why. And my brother's like, oh, okay, good, because children love it. So like it just kind of like, he was like, okay, cool. So I mean, for somebody like to kind of see that and just be like, it's so, just for somebody to see that and go, oh my god, it felt like a real thing. I think they've done a pretty good job with that. It wasn't probably what was on the cards anyway, but I'm glad to see it. But And I think there was rumors that they were going to have the Rock and Reigns on night one as a tag team versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I think I've read a rumor of if that was true.
That is a bit of a rumor I've heard, yes.
Which is interesting. I mean, I don't know. I'm up for it as well. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm up for that. But yeah, The Rock, he's great as always. So yeah. So,
It was a turn of the press conference. I have to say, I wasn't expecting that. I thought he was just going to reconfirm his role in the main event. But, you know, Cody comes out and it's like, I pick you, Roman Reigns. And it doesn't seem like this was all planned. It does seem like they made a change. You know, they went from, you know, Cody at the end of the Royal Rumble pointing at Roman saying, it's you, to literally coming out like a week later and saying, no, I'm going to take everything from you, but not WrestleMania. Rock comes out and it's going to be that. And then he's discussing with Seth about going for that title. And then we have the press conference. He comes out, yeah, no, I do pick you. And so it does seem like a very much a change of plans. And I particularly liked Triple H's promo after that, when he said, you know, people don't know their role, and the only person that gets to make decisions here is me. And, you know, I was like, if Triple H is cleared to wrestle, I'd like to see him get in the ring with The Rock, because that would be something. But yeah, I don't think he's going to be wrestling again because of his heart condition. But then obviously we had The Rock come out
about a few years ago as well.
Yeah, that's right. They've kind of teased it for a long time. But yeah, I'm not sure I can see it happening. But then obviously Rock comes out in his shirt, Hollywood Rock,
on SmackDown,
and he's like joining the Bloodline. But then there were things where people were pointing out where he was saying, I'm going to make sure you walk out of WrestleMania losing. And they were saying he was kind of pointing at Roman. And when he did, when he said that, and then when he did the acknowledge me sign, he didn't do the proper one. He did that. And it's like almost like pointing to Roman at the same time, or lose up, you know, he wasn't doing the same gesture as everybody else. And it's like,
yeah,
we all know that there has to be a turn at some point, but obviously we have to see the way that plays out. But it's changed the, Neil, what was your thoughts first of all about the press conference, and obviously subsequently what's happened with The Rock?
I loved the press conference because they managed to do multiple things at the same time. You managed to turn The Rock heel, which, like, I mean, he was on Pat McAfee's podcast like a day or two before.
Yeah, Cody Crybabies.
Yeah, Cody Crybabies. And when I saw that, I messaged you guys in the group, and I was like, smells like a heel turn.
Yeah.
But I was just like, Rock being a heel does multiple things. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, The Rock is... It will take a lot for The Rock to get booed. The last time I remember The Rock getting booed was literally when he helped Roman Reigns win the Royal Rumble. And that's just because
he came out and celebrated with him. Yeah,
and that's just because,
correct. Yeah,
people didn't want Roman to win the Rumble because they wanted, I think it was Daniel Bryan, they wanted to win the Rumble.
Yeah,
yeah. So there you have it. That's the last time he got booed. So there's that. Also, everything he's done, all of his work, being like, oh, you know, I'm gonna make sure you lose, and he's pointing at Roman, and the whole, you know, he's technically pointing, and it's like, yeah, he's pointing at that, but he's also doing an L loser, you know.
Loser,
it's like,
there's
so much going into it. And also, I don't think any WWE fan really and truly who's like religiously watching it week after week after week would comfortably accept Roman versus Rock with Cody winning the Royal Rumble back to back.
Yeah.
If Cody didn't win the Royal Rumble, I mean, I think, shout out to Ryan, because he said this. He said what would have probably been best would have been if Rock was the number 30 entrant.
Yeah.
And he won the Rumble. Even if he eliminated Cody at the last hurdle, it would have been better.
Because you can't get mad at that. You could get mad at The Rock coming and doing that, but at the end of the day, he won it, and then he can pick Roman, and you can't argue.
Yeah. And I think, even though the pivot has clearly come, I think what is storyline pivot, I think The Rock is the Trojan horse.
Yeah.
I think Rock is that conversation and that discussion that was had between Cody and, you know, Cody and Rock, for them, mm-hmm. for him to be like, yeah, I'm going to take everything from you, but not at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in itself, the way WWE will spin it is Cody and Rock kind of plan this. The Rock has always been like, no, he should be the tribal chief, the head of mm-hmm. the table. And as a matter of fact, when I looked at the graphic when it showed the family tree, yeah. if you actually look at The Rock's name, it mm-hmm. says High Chief.
It does, yeah.
His name actually says High Chief in the, mm. the bracket. So I was just like, oh, you guys are playing a game here. Mm. I was like, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. Yeah. So what I can imagine taking place will be at WrestleMania, Cody wins.
Mm-hmm.
And what it will be is, between now and WrestleMania, maybe it'll be Triple H saying that if any member of the Bloodline interferes, then they're fired or they're banned from WWE. Whatever, he'll put some kind of stipulation in that forces it to just be Cody and Rock.
Yeah.
And Cody and Roman. And then Roman will lose. At which point, it'll be a thing of like there's dissension between Rock and Roman, which leads to its own match, which I would prefer, as much as that is a WrestleMania caliber match, I would prefer that either happen at SummerSlam or WrestleMania Backlash. Just have it happen somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because waiting a whole year,
mm-hmm.
a lot of things can happen in a year.
Yeah, you can't bank on that. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why The Rock came at this WrestleMania was because of the actor's strike. Projects getting pushed back and he had the time. So he had the time and availability to come in and do it now. Come in for like 2 months and then disappear again. If he was going to do it for next WrestleMania, which, you know, he's booked before, you know, him and Cena came out like right after WrestleMania, so yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
You could argue he could dip in and out over the next, you know, 12 months. For example, to build that. But yeah, I can see a situation where basically maybe Cody earns the respect of The Rock and he then gets the rest of the Bloodline to stand down.
Yeah.
To like not interfere in the match, and he pulls rank and leaves Roman to it on his own. You know, that is something I can definitely see. So
I'm going to say it right now, but I'm going to say it right now, because it's just, as you said it, it just appeared in my head. Mm-hmm. What would be a dream come true? And I'm saying this so that if WWE turn around and do this, you know it came from me. I want in that match between Cody and Roman, I want The Rock to interfere. I want The Rock to hit Cody with a rock bottom. And I want Roman to go for the pin and Cody kicks out.
Yeah.
And that is when Rock is like, I respect you.
Yeah.
And that's when he's like, okay, no more interference. We're going to let these two go at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, that's all well, you know, delve into that a little bit more come WrestleMania. But what I don't understand about this, and which has kind of affected the kind of elimination chamber in the picture moving forward, is Seth's involvement in this.
Yeah.
So I understand him being out on stage because it was about Cody choosing which title to go for.
Mm-hmm.
He is still involved in this picture. And, you know, he came out to Cody again. He's like, you know, I can be your shield when it comes to The Rock and Roman. They're on the Grayson Waller effect show part of Elimination Chamber, and you have Seth and Cody together. Why are they bundling in Seth, who is the world champion, who's got his own feud and own thing to be building WrestleMania for? Why are they dragging him into this? Because this is the only part of it that doesn't fit for me.
I think the reason that they're bundling him is for two reasons. One, Seth doesn't actually have a feud going into WrestleMania at this moment in time. Whoever wins Elimination Chamber becomes his feud.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when we think of the people who are in Elimination Chamber, it's like none of them really present a feud for him in such a way. I mean, the only real winner probably Drew McIntyre, for them to have that final match to handle business and go down, right? So that is a feud that will come, can be established the second Elimination Chamber is done. But you're gonna need something to whet the appetite leading into WrestleMania. And to me, I think there is really and truly, there isn't any other better way to do it than having it that, okay, Cody is with Seth, Roman is with Rock, and you have them all going back and forth in the run-up to Mania, but then at the time when Cody needs Seth the most, Drew McIntyre interferes. Because maybe if Drew wins, he interferes, and now it's 3-on-2. And then maybe Jay gets involved. And then that moistens things more, because now it's more Bloodline members.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I would prefer to see Jay in this position because of that. Because, you know, him and Cody were tag champions, right?
Yeah.
So if anyone should be supporting Cody against the Bloodline, it should be Jay. And I know he's had the Intercontinental thing, but that could still be running in parallel. Because for me, Seth being the champion, especially a non-defending champion, right? So they never really come out, as far as I'm aware, to say why they're allowing Seth the recovery time to go into WrestleMania to defend, when it should be, unless you can defend within 30 days, you drop the title.
Oh, well, they got rid of that rule.
They got rid of it. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, you know, it's a case of, I would have preferred that, because, you know, I take it back to the old days where everybody who wanted that title would come out and interrupt each other. Do you know what I mean? You used to have the champion in the middle of the ring and person saying, I'm going to come and take that belt. And then the next person comes and interferes. Yeah. No, I'm going to take that belt. And you have all these people gunning for that one person who's the champion. But at the moment, it's Drew talking to Seth and Cody and none of the others. And I'll comment a little bit more about that. But Rex, what do you reckon about the Seth situation in the Bloodline?
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I totally agree with what you're saying. I mean, it comes off a little bit weak, his involvement, and it clearly shows, like, in my opinion, it clearly shows that, I mean, the world title, the second title. And I kind of feel like, obviously, with The Rock, obviously, the plan, the complete plan was for The Rock to wrestle at WrestleMania. So,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, it as I was saying earlier, I think it's gonna go for that as well, because I mean, The Rock, I mean, is expected to probably wrestle anyway at WrestleMania. They're gonna put him into that match. I mean, to be honest, if you make that match where it's a tag match, I'm not particularly sort of excited about it. You know what I mean? It doesn't really do much for me in terms of like, it doesn't interest me as a story. In that kind of way. So. I think with like Seth's involvement with the Bloodline, it's just kind of like a it's just something for him to do, like from what you guys are saying. So, to be honest with you, it's kind of weak for his involvement, and he's just kind of I get what he's saying, that he was on stage at the press conference and he's just sort of just standing there, and you know, when The Rock kind of slaps Cody and then like Seth's coming in to defend him and all that, it just I just wasn't feeling that part at all. You know, it's so I think with the whole Seth thing, I think it's just it's been pretty messed up since the beginning. So I actually don't agree with what they're doing with him.
You shouldn't have the champion begging somebody to challenge them,
touching at straws in terms of what they can do with Seth. No, exactly. Yeah, no, definitely. I agree completely. Because you know, the Rock is, you know, he's supposed to be there to wrestle, so I mean, I can see that tag match happening. You know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised that match isn't happening in Perth. That match isn't happening at Elimination Chamber, because I think that would have been a great way to build tension. Because I mean, I know why it's not happening. Seth is still recovering from his injury, but it would have been very interesting if you had that match. And then, because either way you look at it, it builds to WrestleMania. If Cody and Seth lose, then it's these guys can't beat the Bloodline, you know? Yeah. Whereas if they win, it it builds, oh, there's dissension between the ranks, because who do you have win? Who do you have take the pin? Mm-hmm. If you have Roman take the pin, then it's you can, the champion can be beaten. If you have Rock take the pin, then it's, oh, the Overlord legend can be beaten, right? It lessens their
ability. And Roman's got nothing to prove. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think them fighting over two nights is a mistake. I mean, unless it goes to DQ and there's no winner or whatever it is. But yeah, they wouldn't be able to. So, you know, you'd have Cody and Seth losing on that night, potentially. Mm-hmm. But then Cody to go one-on-one with Reigns the second night. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of it, but we'll come into more detail.
I think it boils down to the fact that what the original plan probably was for Seth to face CM Punk. I reckon.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 100%. Because of everything they'd said to each other prior, and even when coming back, that was the match. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last question I'm going to pose, which kind of links more directly into Elimination Chamber in terms of predictions. So we've got the Wason Groller, Grayson Waller. I hate the name. I hate him. so we've got his show. Obviously, Seth and Cody are guests.
Yeah.
Now, The Rock has come out and said he's not going to Perth. I don't believe Roman's going to Perth either. Do we expect a surprise appearance from either of them on that show segment to have a verbal standoff? Or do you think it's just going to be Waller mouthing off and then Cody knocking him down?
I think it'll probably be that. What might happen, which would be a stroke of genius, WWE still got a couple of days, would be if Paul Heyman comes out.
Yeah,
Be Paul Heyman, or like even if it's Paul, Solo, and Jimmy. But I think the fact that Seth can't physically do anything right now means that it'll just be verbal altercations. Have Paul Heyman come out. And one thing that is driving me nuts, and I think maybe it's just because WWE don't do this that often anymore, is where's all the footage of the great Anoa'i family? And then the footage of Cody and, you know, Dusty and Dustin. Where is the footage that shows you the wrestling dynasties that these guys are part of? And then you could just have Paul Heyman come out. And I mean, I know he did it last year, but you could have him come out and just, instead of being like, you ain't gonna win because these guys are that much better than you, have him be the sentimental Heyman where he's pleading with Cody, have him be like Adrian in Rocky IV, where she's like, this is suicide, you can't win. Have that moment, right? And he's like, you guys are destined to fail at the biggest stage. Your dad had this opportunity, didn't do it. And it was like, and the thing is, how wild it could be is you got Cody is the reason AEW exists. Now, I know they don't really want to mention other companies, but Dusty Rhodes is also the reason that War Games exists. Dusty Rhodes is the guy who basically mentored the current crop generation of wrestlers. You have it that, you know, Paul Heyman's like, you guys are builders. You build foundations. You build companies. You build matches. You don't win them.
And then
just let that marinate.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if a video of The Rock and Roman, Paul Heyman coming out and saying a message from our tribal chief or whatever it is, and then have a video speaking out towards them. So I maybe expect something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Elimination Chamber predictions. Let's get into it, boys. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the WWE Undisputed Tag Team titles. We have Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. How do we see this playing out? Rax, you go first.
I don't know if they've had like a proper build up to the match. Not that I've seen much. Am I correct?
No, it's more the fact that Tyler and Pete Dunne won the tournament to become number one contenders.
So yeah,
that's where the storytelling has been, and now they're just facing the title holders.
Yeah, they're just literally facing. Yeah, so I mean, in that respect, then, and like, I don't really care about the match. So it's just kind of like it's going to be like, it's, to me, it's obvious. I think Finn and Priest will retain. I think it's going to be a thing, a case of where, I mean, it's just going to have, you know, members of the Judgment Day just interfering. You've got Dominic, you've got JD. Or, I mean, you could even, I don't know, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, R-Truth could even come in, do his little shtick as well. And, like, almost cost Priest and Finn Balor the titles. But I don't see them losing the titles. I actually think that it may even bleed into that for WrestleMania anyway. So with R-Truth and The Miz and DIY, I guess. I mean, it looks as, you know, they may have like a, and how cool it would be if DIY came out to DX music as well. R-Truth and The Miz. I mean, I think that'd be brilliant if they did do that at WrestleMania.
They need to have the Titan trophy.
Yeah, so, DIY. I think, it's not really. Yeah, no, but I see Finn Balor and Priest retaining it. I mean, that's what I would prefer anyway. I love Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, but yeah, I just don't see them winning it this time. Not enough build up.
Yeah. Okay. And what about you, Neil?
Yep. Judgment Day all the way. I firmly believe that Judgment Day are going to walk out as they walk in, because you know, Mommy's gonna win her match. There's no way she's going to be losing in Perth. I mean, even though it's weirdly Australian versus Australian, I don't see Finn and Damien losing, and for other reasons I've mentioned before.
Yeah,
they'll retain.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've got Finn Balor and Damien Priest as retaining. I can potentially see this leading, like you say, into maybe like a triple threat of WrestleMania. With Balor and Priest versus DIY versus like R-Truth and Miz or something like that. Yeah. Because it'd be strange to do this whole tournament to get this tag team only one shot and then that's it. Do you know what I mean? So, because then it's like, well, maybe Miz and R-Truth should have been in that and been part of it. So I think there's a little bit more story for them to play out. But but yeah, I definitely see them for the win. I've gone for a pinfall. So I've gone for a straight pinfall. Do you guys see it as a pinfall, submission, count out, disqualification? What do you reckon?
Straight win.
Pinfall. Yeah, straight win. Yeah,
pinfall as well.
Yeah, obviously, see, like, some distractions here along the way, but pinfall.
Yeah, there'll probably be some shenanigans. I'm sure Dominic will get involved or something, but yeah, okay. Okay, so let's move on to the women's chamber match. So this was I think what surprised me about the women's and the men's match is it was the cross promotion, right? Mm-hmm. So previously, obviously, we have two brands, and previous shows, the Elimination Chambers have been one particular brand for one title. Obviously, this time now they've said, oh yeah, we're just going to have superstars from both shows competing for the titles. And that threw me completely, because my predictions were always based off it's going to be SmackDown, it's going to be Raw, and have them separate. So this one definitely threw me. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in the Raw? Is it the Raw or no? Because Stratton's SmackDown is mixed. They're both mixed, aren't they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they're both mixed.
So why do you think they've done this now in terms of the brand split? Why have a brand split and two general managers of two different shows, and then have a number one contender match for a bit? So, you know. Because what do you got to think about? If, say, for instance, the women's world championship is Rhea Ripley, she's on Raw, then they're challenging for her title.
Yeah.
And say Tiffany Stratton won it, he takes that title to SmackDown, and then SmackDown have got both women's championships.
And the way I see it, it's like, yeah, I'm totally on board with what you're saying. Like, I don't, it threw me off as well. Like, why are they having this cross brand thing? Completely. Because I mean, I feel like it's a Raw title match, so why mix them in? I actually think the reason why they're actually mixing them in is because I don't think that for both men and women, there's not enough, quote unquote, potential contenders on a particular brand. I mean, they could do it. But I mean, I think they just see, like, you know, obviously you got from SmackDown, you got Tiffany Stratton, you got Naomi, And who else is in from SmackDown?
Is Belair
SmackDown? Somebody else, I think. I have a feeling there was someone else.
Bianca. Bianca's on SmackDown.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, Belair. Yeah, she's. Yeah, Bianca, yeah, exactly. So it's So I think it's just more of us, you know, just people with, you know, with star power to it, and I think they just mixed it up just for the sake of. But ultimately, I think even if, let's just say, you know, Stratton won, and then she, I don't think she would take to SmackDown. I think she would be then drafted to Raw. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I don't actually, I'm not. So what I think is going to happen is it's going, whoever's going to end up winning it is going to be a Raw superstar. In my opinion, it's going to be Becky Lynch, who's on Raw anyway, and she's been having this one, you know, this thing with Rhea Ripley anyway. That's what how I would book it. I would definitely put, you know, Becky. I mean, to be honest with you, it would be a toss up between Becky and Bianca, like who I would like to see face, you know, Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, because the rest of them don't either don't excite me as much, or, you know, just, you know, like Tiffany Stratton, she's great, but I just think she's not ready for that yet. So it would either be Becky or Bianca, in my opinion, but obviously Becky wins it in this case, because I mean, she's with Raw, and it's obvious. Even at the press conference, I think Becky did kind of go up to Rhea Ripley teasing all that. So
yeah, she did.
Yeah.
So I think it's just gonna be, it's gonna probably go down to just Becky and Bianca at the end of it, I think. I think it's just be a
I can definitely
win.
See your points. Yeah, I can definitely see your points. I just get frustrated when they do a whole who they're gonna sign for. In terms of their contract, when it could all change depending on what title they win, it's they're better off staying free agents and then signing when the time is right. So, right, I'm going to get into the Elimination Chamber as a free agent so I can go for the title. So if you're going to throw them in there, don't get them to sign a contract before, because they're free agents, they can then go for that title. That would make more sense to me. But anyway.
I think what I've noticed is WWE, they never really beholden themselves to like what brand you're on. It's like, oh, if you win the SmackDown championship, you now become a SmackDown superstar. Because I think we're forgetting Cody Rhodes is a Raw superstar. Roman Reigns is a SmackDown superstar. So even if Cody wins, what will happen if, because what I could visualize is if Cody wins and Seth either retains or loses his title to a Raw superstar, I firmly believe Cody will remain on Raw, and whoever becomes world champion will then move to SmackDown.
Right, I see. Yeah, I can see that happening. Right.
Because, I mean, they, you know, I mean, usually it's a bit weird, but usually they do it on, like they did it when the Street Profits and the New Day switched brands, and they just gave each other the titles. And then I think they did the same thing with Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, where they were like, oh,
they just swapped titles. The titles over. Yeah.
And now, because of the fact that it's not the Raw championship, it's the, you know, it's the heavyweight title. Now it doesn't really matter when you switch brands. It's not going to change the name of the title. The color of the title isn't going to change.
Yeah, I think
that's more likely what will probably happen is whoever wins and needs, or whatever brand needs a champion, will just take a champion.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so let's talk about specifics. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys some questions on this, and I want to get you to give me your predictions, okay? So who do you think are going to be the first two to start in the ring? So the list of for the women's chamber match. So we have Naomi, Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Tiffany Stratton, and Raquel Rodriguez. Who do you think are going to be the first two to start off the match?
Becky and... Becky and probably either Naomi or Liv Morgan. I think Becky's going to win, and I think in order to win, she's going to have to be the first person fighting. She's going to be the last person introduced into the match, so she'll be the first in that ring going hammer and tongs for the entire length of the match.
Okay, so who are you going to go with her? Becky and who to start?
Probably Liv Morgan.
Liv, okay. Rax, who do you think are going to be the first two to start?
I actually think it might be, it's gonna, yeah, I think it's gonna be Bianca and Becky. And I think how it's gonna work, yeah, I think they're gonna be the first two entrants. And I think how it's gonna do is that they're literally gonna survive the whole thing. So they're gonna eliminate everyone eventually, and then it will then end be with the them last two anyway.
Okay. Yeah, that's how it works. Okay, and so who do you think is gonna be the first out of the pod, Neil?
First out of the pod?
Mm-hmm.
That'd probably be Bianca, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay. Rax, who's gonna be the first out of the pod for you?
I mean, it's tough to say. Probably I would say Naomi.
Naomi, okay. And Neil, who's gonna be the last out of the pod?
Probably Tiffany.
Okay. And Rax, who are you going to have as last out of the pod?
Liv Morgan, I'd say.
Liv Morgan. Okay. And who do you have winning the women's chamber match, Rax?
I've got Becky. That's how I think.
You've got Becky as well.
Yeah, I'm going Becky.
Okay. Cool. Right. So in terms of my predictions, the first two to start, I've got Bianca and Rodriguez to start. I've got Becky coming out first from the pod because I think, yeah, she'll come out and she'll go all guns blazing and then, like you say, see it through to the end. Tiffany Stratton I've got coming out last. I think they'll save her. Again, a little bit less experience, I guess, as well. So maybe some less time in the ring. But, you know, I also think Naomi's a bit of a workhorse and she's quite a, you know, she could be starting as well, like she did with the Rumble. So that's a possibility as well. But yeah, I've got Becky down to win as well. I mean, it would be strange for her not to win considering the build-up, because then where else do you take her for WrestleMania after that? But I also wouldn't be surprised if Belair won it as well. That is definitely something that could happen. So a clean sweep across the board for Becky then. All right. Okay, let's go to the men's chamber match. We have Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, and LA Knight. Yeah. So let's go through this. First, well, what are your thoughts about the actual participants? Were they the right picks?
Most of them, not all of them.
Okay, so Neil, who would you drop? Who would have you had instead?
I would probably have gotten rid of probably either Kevin Owens. Yeah, probably Kevin Owens. I'd have probably not had him in there. I think the reason I don't think I'm gonna admit I wanted Gunther in this match badly. Right. I know he's Intercontinental Champion already, but I wanted him in this match. I wanted him to win the match. I wanted him to dethrone Seth. I wanted him to be double champion.
Right.
I wanted Gunther. I wanted 2024 to be the year of Gunther.
Right. Okay.
Right. And I think it's a wasted opportunity because, you know, whatever way you swing it, Seth Rollins is going to face someone who's other than Gunther. Yeah. He's beaten. You know, I mean, you look at it. Okay. So, on the Raw side of things, he's beaten everyone in the match. So it's just the SmackDown participants he's never beaten. And I just think it's a bit wasted, you know. But in saying that, it does set up WrestleMania matches. So maybe I'm wrong on that line. But yeah. I don't think that lineup would have been my personal lineup.
Yeah. Okay. Rax, what about you? The lineup, happy or not happy?
Yeah. Generally, I'm happy. So I mean, I haven't got any major problems with any of the guys in it, really. I was a bit surprised that Logan Paul was there, but I guess it's because it's, you know, Australia. I mean, I guess, you know, he's kind of a draw, to be honest with you. So I get that, but there's just so many other people that you could put in there. I was actually hoping that Dominic Mysterio would have been in
the elimination
chamber. I would have loved to see that. And it's just, because everyone could just like gang up on him or something, you know, like, because he's always like going on about how he was in jail and whatever. So he's in a pod, you know. I think it would have done a lot for his character, I think. But said that, I mean,
McAfee's commentary would have been beautiful.
Do you know what I mean? It's just, I can just see them just like, yeah, you're lucked up now.
And he'd be last contestant out as well.
And so, totally. I would have kept him. Who beat him again? It was Kevin Owens, right?
Yeah,
it was Kevin Owens that beat him to get into the match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I love Kevin Owens. So I've got no problem there, I guess. But I mean, if it had to be between Kevin Owens and Dominik, just for that reason, I would have put Dominik in there. But also, there was no Sami Zayn. I guess he's not even on the card. That was a bit, you know, gutting to see. So I mean, I don't really think Bobby Lashley's doing much. So maybe get rid of Bobby Lashley, I guess. I like Bobby Lashley, but because he's got his own thing with what they're called again? The Final Testament.
Karrion Kross. The what?
Yeah, the final. They're called the Final Testament. That's their their thing.
So we got Judgment Day and Final Testament.
Yeah. So I mean, generally the participants are good. I'll probably just pick one or two people to add in there. But I mean, generally I'm okay with it. I'm no problems really there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for me, is McIntyre the only person from Raw on there, right?
No,
yeah, you're right.
Owens, Lashley, Orton, Paul, and Nia all SmackDown.
Yeah,
so that was interesting for me. Bobby Lashley, wasn't necessarily a fan of him being in there. Like I said, I preferred like a Dominik in there, or a Sami Zayn. I think that Logan Paul makes sense. He's a bit of a high flyer, he'll be jumping off the pods. He'll be adding some acrobatics to it. And again, the branding, the social media presence that he brings. It was very strange for me that they had this cross promotion for it, but only one Raw superstar against the others, all from SmackDown. I don't know. So let's talk about how we think this is going to play out then. So Rax, I'll come to you. Who do you think is going to be the first two to start?
I think like it's gonna be LA Knight. I think I can just imagine the crowd like going nuts for him. Now the thing is, it might be an unpopular opinion, however. I think I've had this conversation with Neil before. But it's something about LA Knight. I like him, but I don't know as well. You know what I mean? I'm not entirely on board with him. Yeah, so I'm not entirely on board with him. I mean, like, he's great on the mic and everything, but yeah. But I do recognize his popularity, so I think he would be the first to, one of the first two anyway. And probably second would probably, I mean, interestingly, it could be, who could we put really? I mean, possibly Randy Orton, I think, you know. We could put that. Yeah, LA Knight, okay. Randy Orton,
Randy Orton. Neil, who would you have as your first two?
LA Knight and Logan Paul.
Right, okay.
I would have, because I think this match will be used to set up certain things for WrestleMania. I think Bobby Lashley is in it. I think he's in it for two reasons. First reason he's in it is because the last time he was in the Elimination Chamber, he didn't compete. He was in the cage. He was in the pod, and then something happened where somebody ran into his pod, and then they faked a concussion, so he was out of the match, and he never came into it.
Oh, right. Gosh, yeah.
Right. I think that was the last Elimination Chamber, so I imagine that's one reason he's in it. I think a second reason he's in it is simply for Karrion Kross to interfere in his match. It's to interfere in the match, cost him... stop his pod opening, or like damage him so that he winds up getting pinned and getting eliminated from the match.
Okay,
which leads to them having their showdown at Mania. So that's that.
Mm-hmm.
I think LA Knight and Logan Paul are gonna go at Mania.
All right. Yeah.
To give,
I agree.
LA Knight a title.
Yeah, know, that's how I see it.
He's too popular to not have a title. Logan Paul isn't going to be there week in, week out. So it's an easy switch. So I think you have the two of them start it off and maybe even have it like maybe, I don't know, maybe Logan eliminates LA Knight, but maybe he cheats to do it. And that leads to a promo, which leads to a match. So I would have those two start because everyone else in that match, you kind of, they don't have anything to do, but there's so much more anticipation for them in the match. Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Kevin, well, Drew, and even Kevin Owens, they are so kind of up there that the anticipation of when they come in, the anticipation, Kevin Owens' pod opens up and then it's Stunner, 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 you know, and obviously he's going to immediately go after Logan Paul. So what better way to do that than already have the match flowing when he comes out of his pod?
Yeah, fair dues. All right. I've gone for Kevin Owens and Drew because I think, Kevin Owens is a workhorse and he'll you know, fulfill big parts of this match. But I think they're going to do with Drew to show him as the powerhouse. You know, he's been talking a game, and I think that he will start and finish this. So I expect Drew to start from the beginning, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets rid of Kevin Owens, you know, get rid of Kevin Owens or gets rid of the first person before the first pod even comes out. That could be a possibility. So I don't know. Okay, so let's have a look at first pod out. Rax, who have you got first out of the pod?
Probably get out of the way. Bobby Lashley, I'd say. Being the first one to get out of the
pod. Bobby. Okay. Bobby Barrett. And Neil, who have you got first out of the pod?
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Okay. Yeah. As you said, come out to the pop. I've gone for LA Knight. So I think, him coming out the first pop would be a big pop to get the crowd going. So I've gone LA Knight. Last out of the pod, who do you think, Rax?
I'm actually thinking it's going to be Drew McIntyre. And I'm actually seeing it as like, do you know what? Because I love his heel work right now. So I would like to see it as him picking up the pieces rather than. So him earning his way to WrestleMania was just literally heel style. It was just picking up all the damaged bodies and just like, it's just claymore after claymore sort of thing. You know what I mean? And just like getting rid of them one by one. I see Drew kind of doing the heel stuff, you know, really in the match. So, yeah.
Okay. Who's going to be last out of the pod?
I probably think Randy Orton.
I've gone for Randy Orton as well because I can just see Randy Orton just simmering there the whole time and just knowing he can come out and just explode because I think he's that little bit older, a little bit less time in the match would be good for him, and he'll just come and RKO everyone. So, also, I can definitely see that.
I think Randy Orton will eliminate Logan Paul.
Really? See, I think LA Knight's going to eliminate Logan, which is going to lead to their feud because he'll be like, I pinned you in the Elimination Chamber where Logan Paul hasn't been pinned in quite some time, you know?
That's true.
So I see that as happening, and that will set up the feud for me for WrestleMania, and LA Knight can be coming out, I pinned you, and that'll create a title match. So,
I imagine that Randy is going to give he's going to give Logan Paul a dirty RKO. Remember, like, he jumps off the top of a pod and into it.
That's exactly where I was going. I think he'll jump off a pod and he'll RKO him in the midair. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be highlight of the night. Okay, so this time I'm going to ask you, who do you think the final two is going to be? Okay, so Rice, who is going to be your final two in the match?
It'll be Drew. And probably Kevin Owens, I would say.
Okay. Drew and Kevin Owens. Okay. Neil, what about you?
I don't know. Drew.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Drew, yeah.
Maybe Randy.
I went with Randy as well. I put Drew and Randy as my final two. And I tell you by that, we all think Drew's going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's like, to me, it's almost like, why are we doing this when he's the perfect number one challenger? He's the only one who's chatting to Seth at the moment saying, I want your belt. I want to win that championship. Everybody else is on SmackDown. And it's like, it's there. But hey, that's why I would have gone for a number one contender. Yeah, that's why I would have gone for a number one contender for like the Intercontinental or the US Championship. Because for me, it's just the World Championship is there. It's easy. But I guess it's like you say, it's a way of highlighting all these other superstars. They're in another country. It's a way of getting them all over there, cross branding it. But for also, me, it has to be Drew.
Yeah, also it's just for Drew to finally solidify that he's like, yeah, give me it now for sure. You gotta give it to me now. So it's just
I agree. Okay. Right, let's move on to the main event, which I believe is gonna be the main event of the night, which is the Women's World Championship. We've got Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax. How do we think this one's gonna go down, guys? I think for me it's a clean win for Rhea.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Mommy's going to come out on top.
Yeah, 100%. But do you know what? Funny enough, I don't actually see it as the main event. Like, as in, like, I don't think it will end the show, though. Like, I know from, like, an Australian point of view, like, it may do. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think the men's, like, chamber match probably has a lot more of a cliffhanger than they would. Does that make sense?
I just think it's also a chance for a world championship to be the main event. Because neither world championships are being defended on this paper card from a men's point of view. So it's like, for me, it's like, why do the men get the main event? So for me, it's a case of, and you know, the other SmackDown championship isn't being defended on this. It's literally one world title on the line.
Yeah.
So for me, that should be the main event. And, you know, fair play to them. This is Rhea's show for me.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have an epic entrance. The fans are going to go nuts for her. I don't see anything other than just a pinfall either. Maybe a submission on her part, but I think it's going to be a clean pin for me.
I'm just kind of hoping that, you know, she has at least, you know, like a good title defense, you know, something at least of a good match, you know, if she can, you know what I mean? Because I mean, like I said in the previous week, I don't think she's been pretty much treated well in terms of the title defenses. So, I mean, it is a hometown, so hopefully she gets... like a decent match hopefully.
Yeah, because she's part of the Judgment Day, you know, a lot of that is taking her time away, you know, in terms of the promotional stuff, the backstage stuff. Even when Randy Orton comes back, she's chatting, coming out and chatting to him. It's like she needs to be on the mic more, just chatting to other wrestlers, and they have done that better in the last few weeks. I think the build up with Nia Jax has been better, and you know, regardless of what you think about Nia Jax and where she should be in this picture, she's done well with what she's had, and I think they've built up with a fairly good match, to be fair. So whether they're going to produce a great match, we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I mean, fair play to them. I hope they put on a hell of a show. I anticipated Becky winning, and this ended up being a triple threat match at WrestleMania, because again, you still have that Becky and Nia Jax history, and I was just wondering whether that would be something they could turn into a triple threat, because I don't see Nia Jax. Nia Jax has come out strong. She was strong in the Royal Rumble. She's going for this title shot now. I'm not sure they're going to disregard her so quickly, because you got to think, especially when it comes to these type of matches, that means if she loses this, she's not in the main event. Do you know what I mean? So, and you know she's not going to take the title this close to WrestleMania. So anybody in a championship match at this point, you know they're not going to win, which is why I think they haven't got a lot of other championship matches going on, because the likelihood of anybody winning and disrupting it would be crazy. So I think that's why they've kind of limited it. Anybody else's thoughts?
Not like No Way Out when Rock beat Kurt Angle to set up Rock versus Austin.
Yeah, right.
But I to a degree, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I can imagine they are going to throw everything they can into this match. I think it will definitely be the main event. I think Nia is going to give a Samoan drop or some kind of power move to Dominic.
Right, okay.
I think that it's going to be a very straightforward just beat down win.
Mm-hmm. I think because Nia Jax is the heel in this, technically, that they're going to be pushing more maybe of a face for Rhea in this, because technically they're both heels, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody loves Rhea. So I'm just wondering whether they're going to try and create more of an underdog story throughout the match of Nia Jax.
Yeah.
Yeah, overpowering her, dominating her, and then her turning it around, maybe putting her through tables, Judgment Day interfering, you know, and helped, you know, something like that. So I'm just wondering whether they'll not have any of that with the Judgment Day and just literally have Nia Jax kind of owning her for a period of this match to have her have that comeback at the end.
Well, yeah, there'll definitely be a back and forth, but I think it's... There'll definitely be a back and forth, but I think what they'll do is to hype up more so the fact that when it is eventually Rhea versus Becky, because I can't see it being any other two people.
Yeah.
I think when they do lead it up to that match, they're going to play on what Becky said, where she was like, I do think you're better than me, but I need to prove it. It's going to be, you know, we need to remember that Rhea Ripley has never been dominated. The only time she's been dominated is in the run-up to this match, where every chance she gets, Nia Jax is attacking her from behind and just squashing her. So I think this will be the moment where they show Rhea's dominance again. I think there's gonna it'll be a riptide, probably from the second rope.
Okay. That
puts Nia away.
Nice. All right. Rax, any final thoughts on that match?
I don't actually see any interference from the Judgment Day at all. I just think it's just gonna be I mean, I think I would like to see a little bit of a fairly brutal kind of hard-hitting match, to be honest with you. I don't think I'll see any Judgment Day interferences. I think it's just literally going to be one-on-one. Yeah, straight one-on-one and just rear, clean win.
I think she
there's going to be, I think Nia's going to dominate a lot in the match, I think. But ultimately, I think, Rhea. So.
Okay. Right. Viewers and listeners, those are our predictions for the Elimination Chamber. Just to run that back, we've got the WWE Undisputed Tag Team titles. We've all gone for Finn Balor and Damian Priest, all by pinfall. The Women's Chamber match, we've got Naomi versus Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Tiffany Stratton and Raquel Rodriguez. We've all gone for Becky again. Men's Chamber match, we've all gone for Drew. Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul and LA Knight. And the Women's World Championship match, we've all gone for Rhea Ripley pinfall. So the only variations are going to be our starters first and last out of the pods, I think. Can we see any upsets this close to WrestleMania? Can we see anything that we haven't predicted? Could you know, Logan Paul shoot for the world championship and be a double champion? Is this a possibility?
No, I think again, that's probably why the card looks the way it does. Is there isn't going to be any surprises, because I genuinely think the majority of people are looking beyond this to WrestleMania. They're like, okay, I just need to watch the Women's Elimination Chamber to know that Becky is facing Rhea, and I need to watch the men's to see who's going to wind up facing Seth. I think that's genuinely all this thing is for. And it sounds horrible, but at the same time, plans have had to change on a fly for multiple matches, predominantly the world title match. And I just think that this is the best the WWE could come up with under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's there was I read somewhere where I don't know again if it's true or not, but obviously I think Brock Lesnar was supposed to be advertised for Elimination Chamber. And I think how the story was supposed to go was that because of the allegations, you know, he was supposed to be in the Royal Rumble match and he didn't obviously, you know, he got replaced by Bron Breakker. Apparently the planned idea was that Brock Lesnar was going to get eliminated at the Royal Rumble by Dominic Mysterio. That's what I read. And it was supposed to be Dominic Mysterio set up a match. Yeah. And it was supposed to set up a match between the two of them at Elimination Chamber, where it was like a one-on-one with, oh God, do you know how amazing that would be?
You allegations. Damn it.
Exactly.
Because
that would have taken me back to Maven Undertaker feels, do you know?
At the Royal Rumble. That would have, you know, you say Maven Undertaker, you know what that takes me back to? You know Austin Theory when him and Brock Lesnar were the last two men in the Elimination Chamber and Brock chased his ass around that ring. It takes me there, and I can just see, and I can in my mind's eye, I can see Dominic Mysterio begging and pleading and being like when he knows, nah, Brock's not gonna let you go, and then he's like, Mommy.
Funny enough, I would love to see if they had that match going on at Elimination Chamber, I would have loved to see, like, obviously the Judgment Day would definitely get involved, and I would love to see Dominic Mysterio get a pin over Brock, and it's just like another badge of, it would just be another badge of, you know,
insufferable he would be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, he's doing such a great job with it. So,
Him as Intercontinental Champion, that'd be amazing. Right, that's it, guys. So, thank you very much for joining me today. Really appreciate you. And thanks for our listeners and watchers. Tell us what you think. Who are going to win these matches at the Elimination Chamber? Who's going to be our number one contenders for the World Championships? And because it's strange because it's both World Championships that are up for grabs, but both the SmackDown titles have got their contenders. So, but then majority of the people going for the titles are SmackDown. It's a bizarre world. It's WWE. It's where we're at. But what I will say is that we'll be watching this Saturday a leisurely 10 a.m. It's going to be a beautiful moment. For our American audiences, we feel you. It's going to be 2 a.m. Pacific time. It's going to be 5 a.m. Eastern time. Welcome to the UK and Europe's pain. This is our month. This is what we do every month.
Straight up. Sorry, I did see a TikTok video where some guy was really upset that it's going to be at like 5 a.m. And I just thought, sir, shame. Right? Shame. Because every single month, unless they're in Saudi Arabia or unless they've come here to the United Kingdom, every month it's a without
1 a.m. start.
You've got two times. 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all we have. That's what we pick between. You know, when these events used to be on a Sunday, I used to be like, oh, I'm taking a holiday off work on Monday. Because
Monday off work, that's it. You know? Especially WrestleMania. Mondays was always off work. Yeah.
But now, you know, it's on Saturday. Oh, leisurely 10 a.m. Leisurely 10 a.m. Do you know I'm going to be watching Elimination Chamber in my pajamas? I'm going to be
with tea and breakfast. Yeah.
Breakfast, right? Whilst you guys are waking up, you know, setting alarms, drinking Monsters and Red Bulls and everything you need to stay awake. Yeah.
Let us know in the comments. If you're watching this from the US, are you going to be staying up till 2 or 5 a.m.? Or are you going to bed and waking up for 2 a.m. or 5 a.m.? Because we stay up till 1 and stay up until 5, 6 a.m. whenever it finishes, and then we head to bed. Let us know what you're going
to
be doing.
Fair warning to some of you lot, right? You might fall asleep during the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Oh, I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
Right, okay, right, that's it. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and We'll be back soon for another episode where we'll discuss the outcome of the Elimination Chamber and we'll start prepping our creative control juices for the WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. But until then, until next time, peace out.